us a tremendous job on that song, ladies. I appreciate that this morning. And also, too, the narration of the song, the 99, Brother Jim, that was tremendous. I was thinking this morning, you know, a lot of times as you know, when you think about church history, many times we overlook the contributions of musicians. For example, you know, the 19th century witnessed in this country the greatest evangelistic awakening, greatest revival movement. Key people like Brother Jim mentioned, you had Moody, Sunday, various other ones. Some of the greatest hymns that we find in our hymn book were written in the 19th century. 19th century was a difficult time. Of course, that was a time of the terrible Civil War. But during that era of American history, some of the greatest contribution in the spiritual realm were made. So thank God today. I'm glad that the Lord is interested in that little one lost sheep, aren't you? Amen. Let's go ahead and have prayer right now before the message. Our Father, we give you thanks this morning for your blessed presence in our midst. We thank you today for reminding us of your love, your grace, your compassion, your mercy, and your presence. Bless now the ministry of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'd like to begin reading verse number 1 and read through verse number 4 this morning. My message title is fairly simple. It's simply this: pick up the fork and start eating. That's what we'll be preaching about. Pick up the fork and start eating. Verse number 1, chapter number 2, 1 Peter. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious." This is certainly a very great portion of God's Word. Of course, we could say that about every aspect of it. There's no one part any better than the other, really. But yet it seems like that certain passages of Scripture just have a way of maybe communicating in more of a practical way to what our needs might be. You know, some people complain from time to time of not being fed. Have you ever run across people like that? Maybe people come to church and maybe they'll make a statement sometimes, "Well, I'm just not being fed." And you hear those comments from time to time. Actually, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody in this church make that statement. I don't know. It's not because I'm any, you know, great scholar of the Scripture necessarily, but I'm just saying it's pleasing to believe that this church here, you love the Word of God and you're growing, and I'd like to think you're being fed. So, you know, that's a blessing. But I've been around situations where people have made that statement. Now, the reason why some people aren't being fed is they simply don't want to be fed. See, let's look at this in a practical way. Some people just don't want to be fed. And then there are those that are able to be fed, but they just don't seem to want to pick up the fork. They just don't seem to want to eat. You know, when we think of eating today, maybe we could put it like this. You have some people that are spoon-fed. Then you have some people that are fork-fed. We normally associate spoon-feeding with babies, but fork-feeding with adults. We need to have some things in order in our lives in order to want to eat, though. There has to be a few things in order. We need to have we need to be hungry. Have you noticed people normally enjoy eating when they're hungry? That's a given, isn't it? Nothing like a good appetite. Heard of an illustration one time of a millionaire sitting in a restaurant. And he couldn't eat hard at all. His age and his health had shifted. But he had all the money. He could buy anything on the menu. And he made the comment, he said, "I'd much rather just have a good appetite like I used to than have the money to buy anything I want." So appetite is certainly very, very critical. Now, we look here at this passage of Scripture. There's a lot we can learn. It talks about newborn babies. I guess it would be fair to say today that God's people need to have the appetite just like a newborn baby. Have you ever seen a newborn baby that couldn't eat well, that didn't eat, that didn't like to eat? I haven't. They really like to eat, don't they? In fact, a newborn baby will squeal if they can't eat. Tell us about it, Melanie. In other words, if they go very long without the bottle, without the nourishment, they're letting you know about it. Now, there's a lot that you can do by way of some application. But I wouldn't recommend this morning that people, if you're hungry for the Word of God, you don't necessarily have to come to church squealing like a baby. So, screaming to be fed. But there's a whole lot that we can learn, even in simple illustrations of life. Now, the people that Peter was addressing were newborns. They were newborns. He says there in verse number 2, as newborn babies. They were newborn. They had been born again. Chapter 1, verse 23, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So they were born again. Somebody one time made the statement, they said a healthy infant is a hungry infant. And I just believe this. I just believe this morning that every one of us need to eat. We have something we can feed on. We need to keep a good appetite. And we need to realize that when we're hungry, that's a sign that we're healthy. And I'd simply challenge us all today, and I'm not closing yet. Sometime when we make that statement, people think, the preacher's already done. I want to begin up front to simply say this morning, keep a good appetite for the Word of God because we need it. One preacher, though, he went on, he made the statement, he said, my problem I've had many times is I've had to spend too much of my time burping spiritual babies. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? He's not talking here. Peter here, as he talks about as newborn babies, Peter's not talking about unnatural babies, but he's talking about natural babies. Natural babies. There's a such thing as an unnatural baby. Who's that? What's that, preacher? Well, that's the person that's been saved for 20, 30 years, but still is on a milk diet. By the way, according to this passage of Scripture, milk's not bad, of course. We should desire milk too. But there are people that we could tag them as being unnatural babies. They ought to move on to some deeper things, but they're still having to eat an infant diet. And that's a shame. You know that? It's a shame. Say amen. Isn't that a shame? But you see, when you pick up the fork, which is what I'm preaching about this morning, when you pick up the fork, there are some matters that have to be taken into consideration. There are three matters that I would mention. There's a matter of discard. There's a matter of desire. And then there's a matter of diet. The matter of discard. What do we mean by that? There are some things we don't eat. The Bible says, verse 1, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings. There are some things we don't eat. You pick up a menu in a restaurant, read the menu, look at the menu. I'm making an illustration here. But there are some items that you leave alone. There are some things that you don't order. There are certain food items that are not conducive to health. So you have to discard. You have to leave some things alone. You know, there's some foods in life that may not taste good, but they're still good for you. But sometimes we're just too picky when it comes to the matter of what we eat. I remember as a kid, for whatever reason, I never did like rhubarb and poke greens. Some of you may wonder, well, I don't even know what they are. Poke greens, they grow wild. My dad used to pick those things. Y'all have eaten them, haven't you, Cleo? And you know, a little vinegar cures a multitude of sins, though, usually. Sprinkle a lot of vinegar on it, but I never did like poke greens, and I never did like rhubarb. I got sick one time on rhubarb. My mom used to make rhubarb pie. I just never did like rhubarb. But that's just me, you see. I'm just a little weird. Every country boy should like rhubarb and poke greens. I guess I'm a weird country boy. Don't say amen to that. But disagreeable foods should be refused. If something is disagreeable in terms of something that maybe just doesn't taste good to us or might hurt our health, we should not eat it. Sometimes food has to be discarded for other reasons. Yesterday, Carol and I were eating in a restaurant, and they served the food, and the food was just warm. It was not hot, and so it was sent back. Carol said, "This food's going back. I just don't like it." We discarded that food. One time we were eating in a restaurant, and I remember another meal that got discarded. We're eating, and Carol called the waitress over and said, "Ma'am, I hate to tell you this, but there's hair in this food." Then Carol got to look, and she said, "As a matter of fact, ma'am, this food is full of hair." And you know what it turned out to be? She's wearing a fur coat, and the coat was shedding. You see, when it comes to picking up the fork, though, there's a matter of discard. We do not eat everything that's served us. We do not eat everything that's before us. There's certain food that is bad stuff. You want to get rid of it because it'll hurt your health. And I believe that applies to the Christian realm. You see, when it comes to the matter of picking up the fork and eating, if you honor the context of what Peter's saying here, I believe there's a matter of discard. He said, verse number 1, "Wherefore laying aside," lay aside, put them aside, "lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envy, and all evil speakings." What you find here is this: get rid of evil attitudes. Get rid of evil deception. Get rid of evil envy. And get rid of evil speech. Get rid of them. That'll not help a person to grow. That'll not be compatible to a maturing, developing Christian life. Those things are like stale leftovers. Sometimes they begin to stink. And sometimes they make you sick. Food can go bad, can it? And you need to discard it. You need to get rid of it. So when we pick up the fork and begin to eat and to feed ourselves, let's make sure that we still practice the matter of discarding that which we cannot eat. We need discernment in our spiritual life, in other words. Number two, picking up the fork and eating involves a matter of discard, but it also involves a matter of desire. Desire. Verse number 2 is newborn babies desire. The word desire is used. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. They were to have an intense yearning for the word of God. That's how that verse translates. Have an intense yearning for the Word of God. Could you imagine the impact it would be upon our lives, upon our church, if we'd had more of an intense yearning for the Word of God? "As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee." yearning for the Word of God. Verse number 4 is interesting. To whom coming as into a living stone. The thought that Peter is giving here in the context of what he's saying is simply where it says to whom coming. In other words, keep on coming. Keep on coming. He's not talking about the initial coming when we come and got saved. Peter is saying, if you're going to be eating, if you're going to be growing, where he talks about, you know, the matter of growing. He says that you may grow thereby. We need to keep on coming to Him. That's what he's saying. To whom coming? Christians that are growing, keep on coming. Keep on coming to Him. Never get tired of Him. Keep on coming to the Word of God. To whom coming? That's what it says. So when you pick up the fork, got to be a matter of desire. When it comes to eating, there's just a few simple practical things that we've all learned by now. Every one of us know that a good meal, even if the meal is good, the meal can be tainted. Not in the matter of the food. But the meal can be tainted by our appetite problems. You see, eating junk food and sweets can mess up a good appetite. Many times people fill up with the husk of this world, and no wonder they don't have an appetite for the Word of God. Let me ask this question today. What were you eating before you came to church? I'm not talking about a bowl of Cheerios. I still mess up on them. I'm not talking about, bacon and eggs. But I believe sometimes what happens is people, even before they come to church, they've been eating some junk food. Maybe they've been reading some wrong material, watching some kind of a foul program on TV, listening to the wrong kind of music. In other words, what they're taking in their system is going to mess up their appetite for the Word of God. We can have a wonderful meal set before us, but if we're not hungry, we can't eat. And I believe that people get their appetites messed up. And that's why it affects their hunger for the Word of God. My parents used to get on us kids all the time. Before we'd get ready to eat, they'd say, don't mess up your appetite. No sweets, no junk. Of course, we didn't get any junk food in my house anyway growing up. Y'all know my testimony. We didn't have enough of it to eat. One time I got went overboard. I decided once and for all I was rebellious. I was a 7-year-old rebellious little child. One day I got very rebellious. I got tired of Mom going to the grocery store whenever she had the money to buy the ice cream, and would buy a half gallon of ice cream and take her knife and make 8 slices out of it. 8 kids in her family. She'd slice that ice cream 8 ways. And we'd just get that one little slice. And by the way, a half gallon of ice cream being sliced 8 ways really isn't a whole lot. And I got tired of never getting enough ice cream. And I made up my mind one day I was going to get some ice cream one way or the other. Old Singing Charlie came by, or whatever you call the guy with the ice cream truck. Huh? Ice Cream Joe came by. My mom was gone. My dad was in the coal mine working. And I thought, I'm going to pull a slick willy here. I went out and told the ice cream man that my mom was wanting to order, on credit, a half a gallon of ice cream. He brings that ice cream in the house, and let me tell you, I had the time of my life eating ice cream that day. But when Mom got home that evening, I had a sore hind end. But at least I was king for a day. Don't ask me how that ties in with my message. There's no way you can make a tie in. Well, I think what I was trying to say was the fact that you can't mess up a good menu with a messed up appetite in advance. So if we're going to pick up the fork and eat spiritually, there's a matter of discard. We don't eat everything. Some things hurt us. Leave it alone. Do some discarding. Verse 1. Number 2, this has got to be a matter of desire. Desire. Things can affect our eating, our desire, you see. Our appetite. And then number 3, there's a matter of diet. Matter of diet. Notice this. He says in verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the word. This is not milk of the word in contrast to meat. We think of milk for babies, meat for dolls. In the way he's using it here, he's not using it milk in contrast to meat. He's just talking about the total word of God. That's what Peter means there. Desire the sincere milk, the total word of God. And actually what he's doing there is he's quoting from Psalm 34:8, where it talks about the Lord is good, the Lord is gracious. Peter's simply saying, there's got to be the diet. We need the total word of God. We need to desire it. Now Peter had tasted that the Lord was gracious himself by testimony, hadn't he? And he's simply passing on to those he writes to. He's given a testimony. He's saying, God was gracious to me. And let me tell you that he'll be gracious to you. He had tasted that the Lord was gracious. Peter. Think about Peter. Oh, Peter messed up. Peter denied his Lord. Peter thought he was a goner. He thought he had bumbled it one too many times. And then when Jesus was resurrected, the disciples showed up in the Lord's presence. What did Jesus do? He singled out. He said, tell, if I might paraphrase, he said, and especially Peter, let Peter know. The Lord had forgotten about Peter. Peter found out the Lord was gracious. Also, I think of something else. Jesus one time looked at Peter and said, lovest thou me? Jesus singles him out. The very one that had denied his Lord, Jesus loved him and singled him out. Oh, he knew the Lord was gracious. And then how he got restored and stood up that day on the day of Pentecost and preached that message and all those people got saved. You know Peter knew the Lord was gracious. So he says that in this passage of Scripture. He says it right here. He talks about the Lord is gracious. Verse number 3. Coming back now to the point that I'm making. When it comes to picking up the fork and eating, we need to know the matter of our diet. Discard, yes. Desire, yes. But when it comes right down to the food, the diet is important. The diet. Have you ever known some people, they'll turn up their noses even before they taste something? They just flatly tell you, no, I'm not going to eat it because it doesn't look right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I think people need to be fair about that. I mean, some things, just because they don't look good doesn't mean they don't taste good. I mean, honestly, would you please work on that if you have that problem? But now let me bring this over to the spiritual realm. Some people say it doesn't look good, so it won't taste good. Well, sometimes people that don't know the Lord, they'll say, well, he's not going to be good. He's not going to bless like you claim he does. No, you don't know. The reason why you don't know that is you've never tasted that is good. How can an unsaved person give a commentary on whether God is good or not if they haven't experienced His grace? We need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Sometimes you hear all kinds of negative comments about what God will do, how God is blessed, how precious it is to be saved. You just don't know it until you wade on into the water and get saved. You'll find out then he's good. And then you're going to see, you'll notice something else. Here in this passage of Scripture, Peter says, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'm talking about a particular taste. The Lord is gracious. Peter's not talking about tasting religion. He's talking about tasting the Lord. There's a lot, you know what? I tell you, this is what you see before us today in current times. Tasting just religion makes people mean many times. Some of the meanest people I know on the face of this earth have tasted religion, but they'll kill you for no reason. I'm talking about the terrorists, Muslim terrorists. All they've done is tasted religion. But my friend, you taste the Lord in salvation, you won't be hating people, you'll be loving people. That's the difference. I don't know what I'm rubbing this thing on, but it's aggravating me to death. When it comes to good food, we know when it's good food, don't we? I'm standing here right now preaching, thinking about what I'd like to eat for lunch. And I know in advance what I consider to be good food, and I know it's good. I know it's good. In fact, I'm different from Carol. If I order a food item, if it's the food item I want, I can use it either hot or cold. I go by the flavor. Sorry to rebuke you in church. But you see, I've had desert training. When you eat MREs in the military, you can eat anything and be happy. I'm going to make a point here, though. When it comes to eating, the Lord is good. We can believe it. We can trust Him. But it's just like this. When you go out and order something in a restaurant and it's good, a lot of times you'll just enjoy it because it's good. And you very seldom have I ever known anybody that called the waitress up and said, "Ma'am, this was an excellent dish. Could you tell me all the ingredients?" Then you pull out a paper and pen and you write down all the ingredients. Normally we could care less about the ingredients. We just know when it's good. Right? I've known people sometimes come to church. Oh, they consider getting saved, maybe. But they've got to know all of the theology. They've got to know all of the doctrines. They think they've got to know all these things. My friend, I would advise you this morning, just taste and see that God is good. And then God will help you when it comes to the matter of knowing the other things in life. Don't worry about the menu. Don't worry about the ingredients. Just go ahead and eat. And trust me, you'll find that He's good. We talk about ingredients in food, but I want to come back to the fact of what I said earlier. The basic need today is people just need to have a good hunger. Allow me just to hurry up. I'm a little bit over, but let me finish my point and we'll be out of here shortly. Have you ever noticed what we can learn, that we can learn to like food though? Sometimes you keep eating something, and you begin to like it. I used to not like olives, but now I find I like them because I kept eating them and you develop a taste for something. You'll notice verse number 2, he talks about milk, doesn't he? Stay with me for just a moment. Chapter 2, verse 2, milk. The nutritious milk of the Word of God provides growth. That's the point. As we're tasting the Word of God, we're finding that the Lord is gracious. We find that the Word of God is nutritious like milk. Like milk. You ever thought about milk? Do you know that milk is highly recommended because of its calcium, and it will help with giving stronger bones? Did you know that the role of milk is to nourish, to provide immune protection, and for bone strengthening? Did you know that milk has been a food source for humans since prehistoric times? It comes from humans, goats, buffaloes, sheep, yaks, domesticated cows. Did you know that milk and honey are the only are the only articles of a diet whose sole function in nature is food? Is it surprising then that the nutritious value of milk is high? Milk is made up of 87.3% water, 3.9% milk fat, and 8.8% solid, not fat. And I'm closing with this point. A preacher gave an acrostic. He's saying there's newborn babes desire the milk of the Word. Let me say this morning that when I think of the Word of God, I think of Christ. Taste and find Him precious. Taste and find Him wonderful. He's like milk. Now, milk, the acrostic. Jesus is mighty, isn't He? Mighty. M, milk. The I of milk. He's mighty. He's incredible. The L, He's loving. He's King. He is. Desire the milk of the Word. We taste, we find Him gracious. I'm saying today when we read the Word of God and love it and prize it and favor it, we're kissing our Savior. Because He and His Word are on equal terms. So, this morning, pick up the fork and start eating. Let's pray. Lord, today we give You thanks for Your precious Word of God. We pray today that You'll meet needs today. If there's someone here that's not a saved person, may they get saved. And may Your people today, Lord, pick up the fork regularly and keep on eating. Because, Lord, You're gracious. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a